Today, we're joined in the studio by Oliver Holacek, the proprietor of Primo Botanica, a bean-to-bar chocolate maker based in Troy. Welcome, Oliver.
Hello.
Glad to have you. How did you feel about all that cold weather outside?
It's not too bad. I mean, it's a great time for hot chocolate.
This is true. This is true on this topic of chocolate. Oliver, so how did you get started making chocolate?
So there's a pretty long history, but I guess like most recently, I was working at Lucas Confectioner in Peck's Arcade, helping out with confection and pastry. So that was kind of like my, I guess, more of my professional experience, like tempering and making like chocolatey treats. Before that, I spent a considerable amount of time in Latin America on cacao farms themselves, working on farms, you know, seeing the process from the ground up. And
wow, how long were you in South America doing that?
So I was in Nicaragua for a couple months. I was in Belize for about a month. This was in 2009. So it was kind of in between college semesters.
What made you want to go to South America to study chocolate? Like, how did you go from, you know, being in college to I'm going to go to South America and hang out in cocoa fields?
At that point, it was a little random. I found a couple farms through WOOF, Worldwide Opportunities and Organic Farms, and they just happened to be cacao farms. So I got there. I was surrounded by these wild Dr. Seuss trees that I'd never seen before, and I was inspired.
So is that where you learned how to make chocolate?
Not exactly. There's not really much chocolate production happening on the ground where it's grown. I learned how to make chocolate mostly from my cousin, who's based out of Berkeley. So over the last 10 years, I've been visiting him and basically being like an impromptu apprentice with him, learning how to do chocolate making.
So how do you make chocolate, like from scratch?
So step one is having a source of raw cacao, which you can really, you can get in most health food stores, including Honest Sweet Food Co-op. So taking your raw cacao, roasting it, you can do that in any kind of oven. And then after it's cooled, you have to find some way of taking the shell off. So that would be considered winnowing. And originally I was just doing it with a vacuum. So you just like set it really low and you're basically sucking off the skins from the bean after you've like crushed them. You take what would be called the nibs and then you're grinding that, including some sugar and a little bit of cocoa butter. And that's how you get that like liquidy chocolate stuff that people are used to seeing in movies like Willy Wonka. That's then tempered, put into forms, and then you have chocolate bars.
So Oliver, I know you have your own business here in town. Could you talk about like what that business consists of?
So right now, my business, there's no brick and mortar, meaning all my production is happening at a commercial kitchen that I'm renting. So I sell chocolate bars at farmers markets. I'm just starting to get into wholesaling. I'm selling at a few cafes downtown, mostly just increasing the amount that I can produce. I'm looking to sell to the co-op starting probably in the beginning of the year.
What about, have you looked into selling at, what's it called, Whole Foods? Because I know they do that kind of stuff sometimes too.
I've considered selling to Whole Foods. They're looking for a much larger supply. I'm a micro-batch chocolate maker, so it's going to be a little while until I can get to that scale. So mostly focusing on local businesses.
So what, with all these potential places and stores that sell a lot of different chocolate, what makes your chocolate different from, say, another expensive chocolate brand you might find at Whole Foods or the Co-op or something?
One of the main differences is that it's produced locally. So that's, you know, it's a cool way of supporting other businesses. A lot of my equipment is purchased locally. The support that I get in making my chocolate comes locally. So that's a big aspect of it. The other most important thing to me is that the cacao beans are single origin. So I'm getting those from specific farming communities in Latin America, which Ella's Meat and offer a product to people that helps connect them with the people that grow the cacao.
And do you make any like sweeter candy-like varieties of your chocolate?
I am emphasizing a not candy philosophy. So I see chocolate more as a food. So I'm adding the minimum amount of sweetener to make the chocolate palatable in order to focus on the benefits of cacao itself.
What are the benefits of cacao?
One of them is that it's a great vasodilator. So
what's vasodilator?
Yeah, it's a little clinical. Vasodilator, like veins, dilator, like, you know, your eyes dilate. So basically it expands your blood vessels and capillaries and increases blood flow. So that's one of the benefits.
Who would have thought chocolate's been healthy all this time?
Probably not all kinds of chocolate. I don't think you can count Hershey bar as health food.
I think that's a valid point. So, what do you have, like, different, like, flavors? Like, do some of them have nuts? Like, what kinds, like, what varieties of chocolate do you make?
So, currently, I'm focusing just on doing origin varieties. So, I have 5 different origins that I work with. Each origin has its own distinct flavors, so I find that I don't need to add other flavorings to add more character to the chocolate.
Is that a lot of extra work for you to find the beans individually for each different? Do you buy it by country? Do you buy it from like different farmers? How does that work?
So first question, yeah, it does take like a lot more work because I'm trying to ensure that all of my sources are ethical. So I have to do a lot more research into each origin to make sure that it is. So currently I have 4. So, you know, basically that requires me to order from 4 different suppliers.
What makes a chocolate bar that's from, say, Nicaragua different from a chocolate bar from Colombia or Tanzania?
Yeah, so specifically, I mean, comparing 2 origins, you know, you're going to get differences in the amount of fruitiness. You know, sometimes there's going to be more bitterness, like really just like different flavors. Specifically between Nicaragua and Tanzania, Nicaragua tends to be a little more fruity, almost kind of wine-like. Tanzania is kind of like a dried fruit, more nutty, like what people are used to.
You're using words like fruit and nutty. I've never actually seen like a cacao plant. Does it bear fruit? Like what kind of plant is it? Is it a tree or, yeah.
Yeah, so cacao does come from a tree. It's very similar to an apple tree in size. The fruit actually grows out of the trunk rather than from the branches. So it's like really wild. That's why I described it almost as Seussian, like coming from a Dr. Seuss novel book. It grows these like large kind of squash-like fruit. And those are cut open and there's like a white, like fleshy substance on the inside that includes the cacao beans.
And then what happens? Once you've got those weird alien fleshy bits from a pod, how does that turn into even the bean that you get?
Yeah. So traditionally, I mean, indigenous people will just like eat that white fleshy fruit. But somehow, you know, it's kind of unknown how it happened. The fruit was taken and fermented kind of like kimchi or sauerkraut in like a big wooden box. Like that's how it's done, nowadays. And, after about 7 days, a lot of the bitterness and like the sour flavor of the fruit, is muted. And then you have this, you know, just like really, really chocolatey, very, very dry, almost like astringent bean that is then dried in the sun. And that's how you get like the dry beans. So the fruit is like cleaned off and it's dried, dehydrated.
That sounds pretty. The whole process seems pretty remarkable. I'm surprised that people figured out how to make this chocolate or like any kind of chocolate from it originally. And as there was some headlines last year talking about this, there's sort of a resurgence in using chocolate as like a party drug and like a spiritual elixir or thing that people are using to achieve some kind of high. What do you think about those movements, and how does that relate to the traditional form of chocolate consumption?
Yeah, my initial feeling on, I guess, like the sort of drug-like use of chocolate is like a little bit, you know, I feel a little bit uncomfortable about it, being that it has been a traditional, like, food, like a, you know, staple crop for so many people for so long. So it's just another example of how we as Westerners take the traditions of, you know, the other hemisphere and turn it into something that, like, pays no homage. But more simply, I would say that if we're going to re-identify chocolate in a different way than just being candy, we need to do so with an understanding of how it was traditionally used.
So how is it traditionally used?
So originally, cacao is used as a form of currency, basically a way of paying labor, but also a way of accruing wealth.
I could totally get paid in chocolate. That would not bother me at all.
I mean, that's sort of my backup plan.
I feel like there's a lot of fermented foods that could work as currency. You can get beer, you could get, I don't know of anybody who wants to get paid in sauerkraut, but certainly chocolate and beer. Maybe pizza, right? Because that's fermented bread.
It doesn't last as long, though.
It doesn't. So what's next for you? Where can you, you know, find your products?
So currently you can find my products at Stax Espresso starting this Friday. We're actually going to be doing a tasting from 5 to 9.
So would that be a good event? Somebody who's curious about these different varieties of chocolate, you could give them, would that be a good way for them to taste in person what they're like?
We're going to have two different varieties, the Madagascar origin and the Nicaraguan origin. So there's a pretty...
Very different places.
Yeah. Pretty significant difference, which is kind of, you know, cool since they're like halfway across the world from each other. So that would be a great place to kind of like see what those differences would be.
Okay. And do you have like a website or somewhere someone could go about like learning more about you and or your products?
I'm located on all of the social medias. So just search Primo Botanica in your favorite platform. I also have a website. It's primobotanica.com. It's PRIMOBOTANICA.com. It's a good way to see all of what I have available and more information on the bean to bar process.
Great. Thank you so much, Oliver. Really appreciate you coming and joining us.
My pleasure.